Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Hey, I have phenomenal news for you. I preached to the young adults last night, and I am proud and excited to tell you that that generation is full of hope. Yeah, like we actually did a hope test, and I'll give you an address for that you can do yourself online. But they scored like high in the area of hope. That is good news. That is really good news. You know, when I asked how many think the world's going to end, none of them raised their hand. That's good news. It is good to see a generation that's like, you know what? I'm going to rise up with hope. That's what the generation, they even wrote things about, you know, hey, it's hard to look forward to buying a home right now because it's difficult. But even with all the things that they see, they still have a lot of hope. That is awesome. So good. And we're actually going to start today. I had texted John in the morning and surprised him, and he's in our Thrive group, and every once in a while when we get talking, he shared his story about his accident, and then we were talking in our Thrive group, and he shared a little more, and this guy is so full of hope. And when I said that to his daughter, Abby, I'm like, you know who's full of hope? And she looked at me, I said, your dad. She went, right? I know. Like, this man is full of hope. So I want him to just come share for a few minutes. John, come on up. If you don't know John Thiessen, this is John. Great man of God, yes. And he's just going to share, and we're going to be blessed by it.
Good morning. I'm not sure what I had for breakfast, but for some reason there was butterflies in there. I don't know why. It's only after I got the text from him, though. But anyway, it's great to be here. It's great to be part of family. And this morning was amazing. Great job up there, guys. Excellent word. It went so well with what I've been thinking this morning, because like after I got that text, and I'm just kind of getting ready, and I just put on some worship sometimes, and Corey Asbury came on first, right? And I've really come to appreciate the song, Reckless Love. And if you aren't encouraged after today, go back, listen to that song, but listen to the story. I know he has one version on YouTube, but where he has a story in the middle of it. Listen to that. That's phenomenal, because he says, speaking of Christ, speaking of Jesus, he leaves the 99 and he goes after that one that was lost. And he refers to that as to himself in the story. Well, in my little story, I'm going to refer to it as me, because that was me. And in my earlier days growing up, I had religion, right? I know you guys don't like religion. And that's okay. It has a dark side to it. But there's some light to it, too. It depends on where you're at and how you're brought up in it. Well, for me, that's all I had. So I wasn't going to let it go. And when it's the only thing you have, like, how can you let it go? Because you know what's after death and everything else, right? So I was going to hang on to it. But going to back what I'm supposed to be sharing here. So I had an accident, right? As you guys can tell, right? But I never look at this as a negative thing. And hopefully after I tell you a little bit about it, you'll see why. See, like I said, I had religion. I thought I was a pretty good person. No, I thought I was a really good person, to be honest. I had been on a missionary trip, and because my thinking was you do the best you can and hopefully one day you'll make it. Well, you got to put some effort into it then. I had been on a missionary trip, and it was something I felt was a God thing. I was religious, remember? But anyway, this particular time, this January 16th, 2002, but 1:30, pretty close to that time, I'm running my press, and everything is just very monotonous, repetitious, going, putting my tanks in. And anyway, this press I'm running, they have palm buttons. You can't just press just one button and the machine will go unless you modify it. You don't do that. So anyway, you're hitting both buttons so that the machine cycles. Anyway, this particular time, I have been doing this for a while. It doesn't take no thinking. You just go. Anyway, I'm grabbing my part out. And when I hit my buttons, there's a certain sound. It's an air clutch, right? You hear it. You know what's going to happen. The thing cycles. Anyway, I have my hands inside to grab my part, and I hear what I hear when I hit my buttons. And it's like, get out. But I was caught right away. Like, I knew. And then lights went out. Like, I wasn't unconscious after, but God just like, hey, he can't handle this. Let's just turn him off a little bit. That's the best way I can describe it. Lights went out, but my original thinking was, okay, I got to get out. And I remember feeling a pinch, and then the next thing I realized, okay, I was out. And so, but in the time that God turned the lights out, what must have happened, I had one hand inside, caught, just the way it's formed and everything. And the guys told me later there was flesh on both sides of the skin. So I must have put the other hand on top to pry. The machine didn't stop. Normally, it's you can have it on cycles, automatic or single runs. It was on single runs. So you do one hit, it automatically stops. If it's on its way down, before it's in, like all the way at the bottom, just on its way up, you can let go of your palm buttons and you can already grab your part, and they would actually train you this way. So this is, you would run, you would get more stuff done. But anyway, this thing kept going for some reason. I didn't even know that. But anyway, so as soon as I was free, I was out. Okay, I knew something happened, but so I was going to take my gloves off. And that's when I realized, okay, my fingers weren't there. And then I did what you would probably imagine anybody would do. I freaked out. I let everybody know that something happened. And of course, they were around me shortly. And once I had kind of gathered my thoughts a little bit, I'm thinking, okay, I'll never work again. I'm done. I'm looking at the ceiling. I won't be around here no more. And the thing is, Nate and I were married about a year and a half almost. Abby was 4 months. So my next thought is, how am I going to provide for them? I can't work anymore. I'm done. That was my concern. Like, I wasn't in that much pain. Like, it was probably shock, but it wasn't. But then that's when, I don't understand this. Like, I was religious. I wasn't a Christian. If you would have asked me, I would have said, I'm a Christian. But I wasn't. Being a Christian is trusting in Jesus. He it's him, right? But I had religion. But I did, I wanted to, right? But this is where he comes off. Like, he goes after that one. He leaves in 89. This is the good shepherd. And he was right there. And it's like, a voice came in and it's like, I'll provide for you. Like, and I knew this was God, right? I'll provide for you. And okay, that was my concern. Okay, I'm good now. I didn't have any more worries. Like, and people would come to me. I was in the hospital about 4 days, and they was like, wow, you're taking this really well. I guess I am. But the thing is, what I was worried about, I wasn't concerned about anymore. And that's, I don't know, if you get something, like, trust him. But the thing is, I didn't doubt that. That word that he came in, like, so often, even in me and in other areas, like, we limit God. Because there's the reason, you read in the Gospels in certain places, he was unable to do certain works because of their lack of belief. Well, in this particular case, I didn't doubt him. So I had complete peace. I wasn't worried about that at all. So like I said, that was in January. And stuff happened in August. I came to know him as my Savior. I came to know what we heard about today, what he did on the cross, and that was for me. But in that time, like, we met other people. And had I met you before this accident, and you wanted to share something from the Bible with me, I'm like, whoa, what church you guys go to? I'm like, no. But see, he softened me. Like, that's the amazing thing. You could have come to me at the hospital, and people did, and they opened up the Word, and I was open. I listened. And so Bible studies start opened up and different things. But then in August, we had a flyer in the mail. And these guys, they called them tent meetings, gospel meetings. We knew nothing about it. We went to these, and all I recall is they preached the gospel. They preached how you can be forgiven by trusting in Jesus. And I remember one night, I don't know exactly what they preached on. All I know is Isaiah 64 and verse 6 hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was, if I describe it to you, it's like I was in the factory and it just like boom. And what it was is all our righteousness, all our best, it's like a filthy rag and our sins have taken us away. Like, whoa, like if that's true, I have nothing to offer. My good deeds, my whatever missionary trip, it's nothing. It doesn't mean nothing. I'm bankrupt. And I didn't know, but like what to do? Like it shocked me. But at the same time, it's like, God turned on lights. That's why he came. That's why Jesus came, because we were incapable. He came. He came to do what we could not do. He gave himself as a sacrifice, as we've been hearing already. He took my place. And now I have life. I have family. That's one of the amazing parts about after I became a Christian. I could meet people, and they were, and to me, like much higher status, but we were like family. And that's, I love that about the church, about in Christ. And it doesn't matter where you're from. You meet somebody and start talking, you realize they're believers. Like, whoa, you have this immediate connection. It's just so awesome. But yeah, anyway, I don't want to take all your time. But anyway.
That's so good. Excellent. We can go home now. That's so good, eh? There's more to give, but now just to set the record straight, John, I hear you that you've gone rock climbing. Is that true? I love it. You know, like his hope does not, it fuels him, doesn't keep him from doing things. Amen. And when he told me that about the promise of God, I'll take care of you. I'm good. I'm like, man, how many of us would be, I would be wallowing in self-pity. I don't know how long for, but he'd like one promise and that's all he needed. I'm good. That's what we all need, isn't it? Oh, man, it's awesome. So, you know, maybe I'll fill your dating plate here. Not dating and just joking, but people need to go out for coffee with you if they're struggling with hope. This is what I felt like yesterday when I was preaching to the young adults, and I have an idea in my head I won't share. I got to figure out if I can do this or how I'm going to do it, but I thought there are people with stories in here that we need to know about because you need to go for coffee with them. And I'll explain a little more about hope in a second and how that relates, but I'm telling you, there are stories. Like, for instance, one of the things that came up, a lot of the young adults are you know, getting a little older. Not old, they're, you know, in their mid-20s, and they're like, I need to find a spouse. Like, it's a concern for them, right? So how many married late in here? Late in life? Raise your hand. Later in life. So you got people in here that have stories of God's faithfulness, and you guys remarried. Those would be young adults. Raise your hand again, those people. Those would be young adults to go and, hey, I'd like to go for a coffee with you. Tell me your story to build hope inside of me. Right? How many have ever had you have had financial breakthrough when it looked really dark? Raise your hand if you had financial breakthrough when it looked dark. More people to go out for coffee with. Because these are some of the concerns right now. Like, how am I going to afford a home? We need to get around testimonies. Right? You guys going to have to respond back to me, okay, today? All right. Maybe you can. Right behind there. So I want to continue. What are we talking about today? Last week we talked about hope. What are we talking about this week? Hope. Good job, guys. Good job. You hope so. Good. I want to share a little analogy. Whoever's on the screen back there, I want to give you a definition of hope. If you could put that definition up of hope with the clouds. Whoever's on the screen, it's coming. And then if you could grab the rope too, and the other rope I had back there, this black rope. Can we do that with the screens back there? Is it coming? The other one. There we go. So this is the definition. Hope is the belief. So hope is a what? Belief. Hope is a belief that a thriving future is possible and you have the power to make it so. And that's really going to be key. Yes, God is in the equation and you'll see that in a minute. But hope is the belief that a thriving future is possible and you have the power to make it so. So here's the thing. If you do not put yourself into the equation, then it's not hope, it's a wish. Right? Pastor Rod gave a great example today. You started off with a word who lives inside of us, the word. Okay, Christ inside of us. So when we get around people and we speak life into them, we're giving a word of life to people. So it's God mixed with your word because he's speaking through you that can bring life to people. Okay? You follow me here. I look at a lot of blank stares. Okay, so hope is the belief that a thriving future is possible and you have the power to make it so. I want to start with, I told you one boat story. I don't know how many of you guys remember that. I may go into that analogy, but I read in this book I'm reading another story of a boat analogy. And so me and boats somehow don't always get along, so I like boat analogy stories. How many remember that story? Got people do. We won't repeat that one today. This story is interesting. This family used to, or still, I don't know, they're currently, but they love to go houseboating. Shasta Lake up in California, different lakes that they have. And they just loved, it's camping on a lake, basically. They loved their houseboat. They also had a jet ski. And so they would go wherever they wanted to with their houseboat. Then they'd go jet skiing all over. And so the one day, he parked his boat. And he said, his houseboat, and he said he staked it into the ground on one side and staked it into the ground with long ropes on the other side. So he staked it here, and he staked it over here. And then he said they went jet skiing. And they're having a great time jet skiing. And he said out of nowhere, these clouds showed up. They actually called it a monsoon. It was so strong. But these clouds showed up so quickly, probably like Lake Erie, I'm sure happens. It like took everything for them to get back to the houseboat. They were fighting these waves. He said there were 50-mile-an-hour winds. Like, so it was a serious storm. So as they're trying to get back, he realizes that the houseboat has dislodged from the stakes that he put in the ground. He forgot to put the anchor down, and he just staked it into the ground. And he said the boat was already pulled. It literally pulled the stakes out of the ground, and it was floating in this massive storm. So here he is with his jet skis, his kids, his family, his wife, and they're trying to board to get on board. And they finally get on board, and they said they wrecked the jet skis trying to get on board. But he got on board, and he was trying to start the engine because the houseboat was going right towards the rocks. And he knew if he hit the rocks, not only would the houseboat potentially be destroyed, it could actually be very dangerous, cost them their life. It was that bad of a storm. So he said he was finally able to get one of the engines started because the other engine was completely flooded, and literally in the nick of time, they were able to steer away, and they made it with just damage to their jet skis. That's pretty crazy. Like, you would not expect that. That's like being on Lake St. Clair and the storm coming up that takes you by surprise and could cost you your life. And I think we've all had situations where you go from being really hopeful to really not being hopeful. Like, here's a day where they're out jet skiing and they're having a great time. You know, you're at work having a normal day and things happen to us that we don't expect. But here's the thing that I have come to realize throughout life, and I'm sure you have too. The point is, and this is a perfect example in the story, you know, we're supposed to have an anchor. We're supposed to have an anchor. And it's unfortunate that in the story that they were in, that he didn't even put an anchor down. So what I'd like to do, and I'm going to need chairs, so maybe Rod, if you could help me out. If we could have two chairs here and two chairs over here. If you could put that next slide back up that you had at the beginning. This is a scripture that you know well. It says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. John, you could not have set that scripture up better. Because it's interesting, people will often quote and they'll say, hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor. It's interesting, hope is an anchor, but it actually says this hope is an anchor. So you have to go back and read before, what is the context? And it's interesting because the whole context is God's promises. And he begins to take you through how God has had promises and been faithful to those promises. Now, the greatest promise, and Cadence, great job today. You shared your heart and it was so eloquent. The greatest promise that we have as Gentiles, because we are not Jewish in heritage, the greatest promise we have is that he died for our sins. And because of that, as Gentiles, we are now able to go to heaven. Okay, you realize that 2,000 years ago, if you weren't Jewish, you had no part in it. But he had a plan from the beginning of time. He came through a nation, but his plan was always to open it up to the entire world. God so loved the world. So the greatest promise we have is that as non-Jewish people, that we can believe in Jesus, and we have this hope that we will go beyond the curtain into the Holy of Holies with him. And the greatest part is that we can do that now and eternal life. It's not just for later, okay? But what I loved is that it says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. What I loved about John's story is that, you know, before God spoke to him, his anchor really was in his abilities, right? So I do my job and I'm getting paid. I just lost my fingers. How am I going to provide again? So, you know, over here, let's just say it's our abilities, it's our job, everything that we do, and that's where our anchor is. And in that one moment, because it was tied to that, it's gone, and his boat is sailing away. It's headed for the rocks in his mind. But I love it because it says this hope. In that one moment when he's, were you still in the plant before? You heard that before you even left the plant. Can we just say thank you, God, for your faithfulness? Like, that's incredible. I get tears when I think about that. That's why I want you to hear it. In that one moment, instead of this anchor being stuck over here to his job, the Lord went, oh, no. I'm going to provide for you. Don't worry about that. And in that moment, this anchor began to be lodged. I can't bring it to the cross, but let's say the cross is right here. All of a sudden, that anchor is now lodged into this better hope, better promise. And all of a sudden, it's a trustworthy anchor for our souls. Now, I thought about that for a while. I'm like, why didn't it say spirit or anything else? How many know, John said it well, how many know when we go through trials, he said, I quickly let everybody in the plant know that something was happening. How many know that it's not our spirit, it's our soul that begins to cry out? Oh my God! You know, and you had every reason to scream out. But sometimes even the small things can make us scream out, right? Sometimes our friends can remind us, hey, you're gonna make it, it's okay, it's not that bad. But I love in that moment that that anchor that was lodged into something that was fleeting and movable, and you know, you get a raise, you get fired, it's going all over the place, you lose your job, and now you don't even have a place for an anchor, and now it's hooked into God. And I love John going, oh, I'm good. Like, you can lay hands on all of us after John, all right? I'm gonna have a prayer line. But that is so amazing. Sometimes, though, you know, we have anchors and we don't realize, you know, we have an anchor. Krista, come on up. We have a spouse and we anchor ourselves. You can sit down.
That's not a ball and chain.
It's not a ball and chain. We'd like it to be. But we anchor ourselves to our spouse and we put our trust in our spouse. And we start to rely on our spouse to be the anchor. But how many know it can never happen? Rob, maybe you could sit there for a second. Maybe it's not your spouse. Maybe it's friendships. And you're like, man, bro, you're a friend, good friend. Can you hold my anchor for a while? And just, you know, like, I am counting on you. You are my anchor. No pressure, though. No pressure. Just relax. But you are my anchor. And the crazy thing is, it's like, oh, I could be your anchor. I could totally be there for you. Oh, I got to go right now. Somebody's calling my name. And before you know it, you can go ahead and sit down. The anchor that I had attached to somebody is gone. Oh, she sat down too. I lost both anchor points. In one moment, I lost both. But isn't it that easy in life when you put your anchor into the wrong things? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's something like that. And in 1 second, you can lose your anchor hold. Now, I know we are all super spiritual here, and none of us have our anchors in those things. Thank you for laughing, because it's not true. All of us at times can have our anchor in something that is not supposed to be. Now, I want to show you what it really looks like. I told you I'm reading this book on hope. And what I love about it, I love when scientific books back up the Bible over and over and over again. Remember I said last week, my goal, this is a bad way to describe it, but I'm going to use it anyway. If you've ever seen, like, how many have ever watched a horror movie growing up or something like that? You can be unspiritual for a second. Raise your hand if you have. Or you're like, I'm not writing my hand. Some people love those. Okay, if you've ever watched one of those movies where they walk in and the rooms are like slimy and it's just, oh my gosh, you feel terrible. You don't want to be in there because it's demonic and that. Ugh. I thought, Lord, I want it to be the opposite. I want this house to be so full of hope. And I've shared this. I want it to be so full of hope that when people walk in, it's impossible not to get rubbed with hope from the Lord. Like, it doesn't matter if you meet the greeter in the parking lot, the greeter at the door, the Connect Center, anybody that's walking, you're in the bathroom and somebody's just sharing how much hope they have. I want this to be a place where there's hope and it's contagious. Let me back up for a second just for all those people that struggle with hope, because I want you to let you know there are seasons when you will not have hope. You will have hope. It's like you're barely holding on. Absolutely, we'll have seasons like that. I think of Ken Post, you know, Sharon, his wife, passed away somewhat unexpectedly, really, or sooner than expected. And, you know, he is grieving. That's not a time to be super hopeful and, hey, everything's great. No, that's fake. And so even in the midst of that, I'm amazed that he's like, this is so hard, but I know she's in heaven. He still is grabbing that, but it's not like he's waking up every day. He's going to go through a grief process. He's not waking up every day, zippity-doo-dah, right? He will have a grief process. There's nothing wrong with that. And John, I'm sure there was some grief in there. I don't know, you seem like, but maybe there wasn't for you, John, but for some people, most people, there'll be moments of loss and grief. That is normal. You know, if you are living in Gaza right now, or if you went through and your family is held hostage, I'm not saying you should be waking up singing zippity-doo-dah. You are in a place of grief. The point is, I'm trying to make, that if our anchor is anchored into him, we still have a strong anchor. We still have a strong anchor. You may not even feel hope in that minute. It's still anchored, guy. It's still anchored. There we go. But you still have that hope. What I want to talk about, what I was saying, is that this book I'm reading continually backs up. So I want to share, if you are struggling with hopelessness right now, first of all, you need to know that promises of God are an anchor to your soul. Amen? Turn to Romans 15. I want to read a couple scriptures here. You guys know this? Young adults should be able to quote it. Sean's not even in here. Romans 15, verse 13. Somebody read it out really loud. I love getting you to be a part of it. Romans 15, 13. Claude, read it out really loud. That is probably or has become one of my favorite scriptures. Now may the God of hope. So right off the bat, you serve, eloquently put by both Cadence and Pastor Gary, a God that took the most horrible punishment. I've never thought about it the way you said it, Pastor Gary, about him taking on even evil for us. That he would become our salvation, which John found out that religion's not going to do it. Good works are not going to do it. And in the moment when you have nothing left, it's not going to do it, but the God of hope will do it. The God of hope becomes the one that you go, you know what? I will never measure up. Talk about a hope that we have. That's why I say that Christians should be the most hopeful people on the earth. Because even in the midst of what we're going through, and again, this is not saying there's not moments of grief, but even in the midst of Ken going through this moment, he's like, but my wife, who I will miss horribly, is dancing with Jesus. What a hope that we have, right? What a hope that we have. Now, may the God of hope, he is the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace. So this is a prayer from Paul that he's saying, listen, I'm praying for you that God, the God of hope, will fill you with all joy and peace. So it's fair game to wake up every day and go, Lord, I pray that you will fill me with joy and peace. Believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the Passion Translation. May the God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with super abundance until you radiate with hope. Radiate with hope. All right, so this is what the book's talking about. So we already know the first thing we need to do, if this is the boat, is that we get our anchor. And by the way, if you've ever seen somebody that's gonna go through a storm, even if you're out in wavy water, often what they'll do is they don't just drop their anchor, they actually have to set their anchor. And sometimes if it's a bad storm coming up, they will literally, if they can, swim down and make sure that anchor is lodged and it's not going anywhere. So in this hour that we live in, one of the things that I want to do is make sure that our anchors are lodged in the right thing. Amen? Now, here's the thing. They are finding that those that live in a community of people that support your hope and your goals fare better than everybody else that does not. That's good news when you live in a community of believers like this. Like, how many know that you had your tank filled a little bit with John's testimony? Like, you can go home today going, you know what? I have a little more hope than I had before. And so this is what it looks like. Krista, you're gonna have to come back. So Krista's obviously my wife. Hey, Chris, come on up. Why don't you come sit here? Rod, why don't you sit there? Why don't you come on up, Mom? I could have a whole bunch of chairs up here. So not only now am I tied to this boat, but here's the thing. In the story that I've shared many times before, several times before, in this other story, this hurricane was coming up, and as these people had, they had rented or they had reserved this boat, this yacht, and they were going place to place to place, and while they were having fun, bright sunny day, it was beautiful, they noticed their captain was like doing this weird thing. The captain, he's out and he's setting the anchor deep within, like he's literally snorkeling down, setting the anchor. He's got another anchor they didn't even know existed. He pulls out and he puts it in the back. He says he gets rope and he starts literally tying it and going over to trees on the shore and tying it, four different spots. And they're like laying and enjoying the sun. They're like, what is our captain? He's lost it. Only to find out a hurricane was coming. And he knew it was one of those sudden hurricanes that kind of shifted course. And the captain knew enough that he could not outrun this hurricane. They would have to hunker down. And so this is what he's doing. He gets his rope out and he ties it to a tree over here. Brings it around. We'll make this our boat. Brings it over, ties it to another tree. And then we'll just keep going around. And they have no idea why he's doing this because the captain didn't want to freak him out. Ties it to another tree. Oh, it's harder to do with one hand. And then ties it to another tree. The sad thing the captain said was that there are other people that were in boats that had no clue, weren't checking the radar, weren't doing anything. So he gets all this done. He gets his anchor set. And when they get back on board, they're like, you know, what's going on? He says, there's a hurricane coming. We can't outrun it, but I promise you we'll get through it. So they're a little freaked out. This was Andy Stanley. And so they hunker down, and they said they've never been through anything like that in their life. Like the wind, the waves, the sound was terrifying. So in the morning when the storm had passed and they came out, their boat was completely safe. Nothing wrong with it. You know, it took a beating, but it was safe. He said there were boats strewn all over the beach, turned over in the water, because none of them had prepared. So here's the thing in life. You know, my mom can't be my anchor. My friend and pastor associate cannot be my anchor. My wife cannot be my anchor. Chris, my friend, cannot be my anchor. But what I should have is ropes that are also tied to them. Because in moments where I'm in distress, I need people in my life. My anchor's in Jesus. That can't change. But I'll tell you right now, when we're going through tough times and it seems like the battle in people's minds is fierce right now, we need people that we're connected to that can come alongside of us and go, hey, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Let me remind you, you're going to make it. And sometimes I'm that for Rod, and sometimes I'm that for my mom, and sometimes I'm that for different people, my wife and Chris. But when I'm going through a storm, it's like I need my anchor solid, but I need community in my life that will connect with me and tell me I'm going to make it. What I don't need is somebody coming up next to me and going, yeah, your life is horrible. You're right. You're going to die. I don't need that. 7 years ago, I think it is, when I went through anxiety, depression that I'd never experienced before, whole story with medication and different things. I was thankful for Rod in my life, who had experienced something somewhat similar, not quite. But I remember, you know, he would call me or I would call him. He would call me and I would call him. It'd kind of be a back and forth thing. He would call to see how I'm doing. And I remember one day I was pacing my driveway and I was in despair because I thought, am I ever going to feel normal again? And I remember you would say, Jay, one day the sun will come out again. You don't believe it right now, but you got to hear my words. I've been through it. One day the sun will come out again. And it's like in that moment, I'm like, he's not my anchor, but I'm holding on to that moment. Okay. And then I had a friend that, you know, my mom was really trying to protect me. She didn't want to overdo it, but Chris and I were just getting to know it. And Chris had in his heart, he's like, I'm getting over there. And Chris came and just sat on the couch with me and he just sat with me and talked. My wife would be there and she'd like, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. My mom, you're going to make it. I was holding on to all these things. There were even moments where I'm like, God, where are you? Where are you in this moment? But he was still that anchor. But it's community that I had around me that was helping support me. And what the enemy loves to do and is doing it more and more is, first of all, as Christians, well, I can't share, I'm struggling. Then I'm going to look weak. Baloney. Baloney. You need to get that lie. If it's in your head, you need to get out of your head. Because even Jesus went to the garden and said, can you guys pray? They didn't know what was going on. They had no clue of what the next day would hold. But he's like, can you guys pray? Now, his friends unfortunately fell asleep. But the point is that he was asking us, friends, can you please pray with me? Even recently, I've asked a couple people, I'm like, I need you in another chair. I got to tie a rope right now because there's some things that I'm struggling. There's some battles and I need to tie a rope. Can you pray for me? Would you be somebody that would diligently pray? And they're like, absolutely. So that's me tying a rope. But it's amazing that a book on hope scientifically would say you need community in your life. You know what else it said you need to do? Declarations. Imagine that. It wrote out 5 declarations that you need to speak over your life if you want hope. I'm like, it's amazing. This is what God's been teaching us all along. You guys can let those down. Thank you. Thanks for being ropes. But it's interesting that they're saying, listen, when you wake up in the day, you need to start declaring over yourself, I will make it through the day and my dreams will come true. This is a secular book on hope that's teaching you how to think with your brain in the proper way. So we've got community. We've got declarations. One of those was, I like it. I am a giver. It said something about, I'm on a rampage. Generosity rampage. I'm like, when we declare these things, we're speaking it over ourselves. All right, so we've got, what did I say so far? Community. Declarations. And you know the next thing they say, if you want strong hope, if you want to be a hopeful, filled person, this is what they say. You need to serve other people. Amen. I'm like, man, they're just trying to help us get back to what we already know. They say there's something in the power of serving others that brings hope into your life, especially when you're serving somebody that is less fortunate. Because the only thing, I told the young adults this last night, my dad was always one that would say, listen, don't compare yourself with people that are above you that have more. Look to people that have less because it'll remind you of how blessed you are. And it's not looking down upon them. It's remembering, oh my gosh, look how blessed I am. Because it's funny that a millionaire doesn't feel good enough until they're a billionaire. And a billionaire doesn't feel, you know, if you're always looking to the next. But I'll tell you, if a millionaire looks and goes, man, I'm so thankful for how God's blessed me. I'm so thankful for what God's done. But when we get into the trenches with people that are struggling, I'll tell you, it brings the blessing that God has been in our life to the forefront. Some of the stories of the things that people have overcome, I cannot. The one girl was 11 years old. This is in the book. She was 11 years old and her father was abusing her. All her life she was abused and beaten. And one day via Facebook, she met somebody online she thought was about 15 years old. He was actually 19. So as she conversed with them on the forum, Facebook forum, he basically said, well, let's connect. And so she went and connected with them and realized he was older, but still he was like a knight in shining armor. And she told the story. He said, listen, why don't you move in with me? Your dad will never hurt you again. You can get out of that situation. And that was like a miracle to her. So she moved in with this 19-year-old at 11. Parents didn't know where their daughter was holding press conferences and all that. And she said for the first 4 months, it was incredible. She felt like she finally could breathe again. Till one day coming home from school at 11 years old, there were four men at the house. And the man that she was living with said, I have a debt to pay that I cannot pay. You need to have sex with these four men or else they'll kill me. And that began sex slave industry that he brought her into. She said, thousands of men used me. Finally, a social worker. You talk about how we can shine light on things. A social worker, I can't even remember. I don't even know if they go into detail. Somehow found a way and connected with her and pulled her out of that situation. Now, you can imagine the trauma that this young girl has been through. But through one person who kept speaking life into this girl, she went back to school. And she's now headed into university to become a social worker so she can help others get out of that situation. And so here she is. She's been through so much, but she's like, I'm determined to make what I went through count so I can serve others through it. This is what it looks like to shine our light. I don't know if she's a Christian or not. I have no idea. All I know is that she wants to make a difference. That's powerful. Another young man was, if I can remember the details, was beaten on a regular basis. Because he was hit so often, I hope I get the details right, but the point is that he had no hope. He was kicked out of school and all these different things. One teacher began to believe in him, spoke life into him, kept telling him, you can do it. And this young man not only was able to get his marks up, he ended up going to Harvard. He ended up graduating, becoming a teacher, and then he took on the most esteemed, highest position in the country and was Obama's education, whatever, czar, whatever the term is. And he oversaw all the other education people. Because one man took notice and spoke into his life. We have this term, releasing hope. What I'm trying to do is help you understand when we are anchored, when we have community, when we've gone through things, that we can begin to turn around and go, listen, even in the midst of our own trials and pain and suffering, we can begin to be hope for other people. We can begin to release hope by speaking into their life things that they can't see. And obviously, we were already doing it to have a young adult generation that scored super high in the hope category. There are some that are struggling. I was expecting a lot more to be struggling, but I thought, isn't that amazing that these young adults are like, I'm going to get through life. I'm hopeful for life. And I can tell you, there are a lot of young adults that have zero hope whatsoever. So, church, can we be that church? Where people walk in, and maybe for some of you, you're going to take on the role of going, listen, I can't be your anchor. Don't even ask me to be your anchor. But I can hold the rope with you. I can be here for you. You can text me if you need some encouragement. What if each of us took that role and we made it to be something that, you know, that saying, not on my watch, or leave no man behind, they're all the same idea of, when we're here, we will do our best to make sure everybody gets through. What if we all looked around and took on that role? Because I'll go back to how we started. Rod said one word, and the word is within us. So we have the power to speak into people's lives hope when they have none. Amen? So if you are struggling with hopelessness right now, and we've all been there, most of us, I'm sure, have been there at some point. What I encourage you to do is go for coffee with someone. Someone that's going to build you up, edify you, and speak life into you. And look at the room. There are so many people in here you can go for coffee with. Richard and Margarita, great couple to go for coffee with. You'd be like, I have no time. What are you doing? But I get around these guys, and they just start to fill me with hope. Claude and Elaine. I can name every one of you. Sam and Judy. You're a great couple. You're welcome. But you've also been through hard knocks. You've had your challenges. You're still smiling. Great couple to go out for coffee with and say, hey, can you speak some life into me? Some hope? Steve Gambriel. You can't hide, brother. Steve and Kristen. Steve, I think of you. And I remember we've been friends for a long time. I remember those dark days when marriage was over, and would you ever, you know, see marriage again and love? And now I look and you're like, your daughter's almost taller than I am. And so full of hope, so full of life. You and Kristen have done a phenomenal job. This is the beauty of community. Amen. I could keep talking. Please stand. Well, we got to do communion. Oh, we're not going to take long on communion. We get to do communion. Actually, after a day like today, we get to do communion. My kids have betrayed me, taken on country music as a source of joy. I'm sure there's some good country music. Joking. But I was driving with them one day, and it proved my theory, because I'm like, is there any song not about somebody getting dumped and running to the bar to feel better about themselves? Because I'm like, I'm listening to every song about, you know, I got dumped, but I ran to the bar and drank it away. And I'll tell you, I'm so thankful, you know, and if that's your genre, that's, I'm just trying to be funny, but I am thankful that we have the ability to put on reckless love in those moments when we're struggling. That in our fingertips right now, we can worship because we have music to go, Lord, I need to have my soul filled. Remembering where our anchor is attached to, amen. Lord, I thank you for this this round wafer that we look at, and we think it's communion, but it's more than that. It's not just a symbol. We're partaking of what you did on the cross. That it's so well said today. Not only did you take our sins and you took our beating, but you also took the evil. You took it all. And as it was said, that when we have no righteousness, you became righteous for us. I wish I could have Zach here, who is battling cancer, but I heard him last night and I thought, man, he was talking about, man, I'm a king's kid. I'm a king's kid. I'm like, dude, these are powerful young adults. So Lord, we thank you that we are king's kids. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the blood that was shed. You were beaten and broken, and your blood was shed for us. Thorns in your head, pierced side. Lord, I thank you that you are victorious. And because we're king's kids, we are victorious in you. Lord, as we take this, whatever we're struggling with internally, physically, emotionally, I pray, Father God, that your blood would continue to heal us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last testimony, and then we're out of here. I don't know if you remember, Zach came up a few weeks ago and talked about this new chemo that he had to be on called, I believe it's called the Devil's Syringe. That's quite a name for a chemo. And so he asked for prayer because, you know, this is going to be, it could be pretty intense. And so far, he said, you know what? This has actually been some of the best chemo I've been on. I said, what are some of the side effects? He says, I'm a little more tired. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we just cover Zach. And Lord, we are just every day commanding that cancer to die and strength to come into his body. And we declare life over him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.